Amen. Well, if we will be faithful, if we'll be found faithful, victory will certainly come. Praise God. It will come one way or the other. Victory is going to come. Amen. Well, I want to preach to you something the Lord's put on our heart this morning out of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and just going to read a verse here that we all are familiar with. And kind of use that verse to get a thought and bring out maybe a few different things with the Lord's help this morning. And pray to be a blessing and encouragement to us, particularly in these days. And so I pray God will just help us this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, and don't worry about standing. We're just going to read one verse and give you our thought this morning. Pray to be a blessing and help to you. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 16, Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, we use that verse many times. We quote that verse dealing with prayer. And I believe that is, that verse is dealing with prayer. Talking about coming to the throne of grace. And that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. So many times there is grace to help in our times of need that is available to us. And we forfeit that by not praying. Amen. And so may God help us to be people of prayer. But I want to focus in on that grace. That grace. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And then he said that we might obtain obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I would say probably we are in a time of need right now, just world as far as the world is concerned. And really, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the closer we get to the rapture, the more in need we become. Because just the nature of the days, the nature of the last days, iniquity will abound and things will wax worse and worse and the love of many will wax cold and all that. And so because of all that, as we draw nearer to the rapture, nearer to the coming of the Lord, the more grace it's we're going to need. I mean, because the more need we're going to have. And so I want to preach to you just on this thought this morning of amazing grace. Amazing grace. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning, and I want to thank you for letting us be in your house this morning in the midst of all that's going on. Lord, those of us that are saved by your grace, Lord, we don't fear as the world fears. And Lord, we have faith. I pray that you would grow our faith and help us, Lord, whenever we have little faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help our unbelief. I pray, Lord, you to help us in these days to look unto you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as the song that was we just sung, Lord, I pray that you'd give us great victory in these days. And Lord, whenever the world and our nation is gripped in fear, Lord, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us power and love and a sound mind. And so, Lord, I pray that you would wrought a great victory, Lord, knowing that you are capable of that. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that you're wanting, Lord, to bring about victory, spiritual victories in these days. And so I pray that you'd help us to not fear as the world does. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with faith. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to redeem the times because the days are evil. And help us, Lord, to take advantage of these days. Draw us into our prayer closet. Lord, draw us into your word. And Lord, I pray that you would build us and grow us, Lord, in ways that, Lord, wouldn't be done except for challenging and trying times like the days that we're seeing. Lord, we know and we rest in the fact that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And Lord, I thank you that you are working, Lord, things out for good for those of us that are saved by your grace. And we praise your name for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we try to preach your word. Bless us. I pray that you would, Lord, stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance and help us, Lord, to call to memory, Lord, how your grace has worked in our lives down through the years, how it'll continue to be working and be available to us, Lord, in the days to come. I pray that you would just bless us this morning And may everything that's done bring you honor and glory, for it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. He says, "Come, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace is something that is working in our lives. But grace, there are certain graces that have to be found. He said you have to come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace in time of need. So there's certain times of need, I believe, that we have, that grace is available, but we don't find it unless we go to the throne of grace. That's what he said, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in to help in time of need. And so, would to God that He would draw us into our prayer closets, that we might obtain mercy and find the grace that we need to help in our time to need. Whether it's big needs or little needs, whatever the needs are, may God help us. But thank the Lord for grace. Thank the Lord that grace is available and grace is working. There's a lot of grace that was working and has worked and is working in our lives that we haven't even sought after. We've not even... there's not been anything else to seek it, but it's just been there. And God's worked in us, worked grace in us. And so I'd say that the grace of God is amazing grace. And we sing that song, Amazing Grace, that old hymn, Amazing Grace. And I thank God for His amazing grace in our lives. Amen. And so I want to say a few things about amazing grace. First of all, number one, His amazing grace redeems us from our sins. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His what? Grace. His grace according to the riches of His grace. And it is His grace that redeems us from our sins. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Praise God. His amazing grace has redeemed us and brought us back from the slave block of sin. Praise God. I say this, you know, a president can pardon a crime, but he cannot pardon our sin. Amen. Money can buy off a judge, but it cannot pay for and buy forgiveness of our sins. Medicine and science can produce some degree of physical healing in these physical bodies, but it cannot heal the soul of its sin. Amen. You know what it takes to do all that? It takes the grace of God. Jesus can redeem us from our sin. And through God's grace, Jesus can reach way down for us into the gutter of despair and lift up the penitent soul out of the miry clay and redeem his soul from destruction. Amen. It is His grace that has redeemed us from our sin. Amen. And I don't know about you, regardless of whatever's going on out there, I'm still glad of His redeeming grace. That at one time I was a lost sinner and I was headed for hell, and ever I was lost in my transgressions and dead in trespasses and sins, but I've been redeemed through the grace of God. Amen. Grace is just what it is. It is unmerited favor. God has favored us. He has poured His blessings into us. Amen. When we didn't deserve it and we couldn't earn it, we could not merit it, yet He has shown us favor. And that, by the way, is the difference in what we have got, true Holy Ghost salvation, and what most of the world's got. Even what most of the religious world's got, amen, they've got something very different from what we've got. That most of the world, most dead, dry religion is working to earn the approval of their God. Amen? That's their mindset. I've got to do good, and if I do good, my God will be good to me. I've got to do good, and if I do good, my God won't judge me and won't pour His wrath out on me. And it's all about whether or not I'm doing good or whether or not I'm doing bad. But you and me, it's very different, buddy. Our God has opened up the windows of heaven, and He's poured blessings down on us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't earn it, when we couldn't do good, whenever we couldn't lift ourselves up. He has opened the windows of heaven and poured out
His grace and redeemed our wretched souls from hell. Praise God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. His grace redeems our sins. Amazing grace. Not only does it redeem from sin, but amazing grace relieves our fears. It relieves our fears. Psalm 56, and that's right, it's the same grace. The same grace that has redeemed our soul is the same grace that relieves our fears. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 56 and verse number 3, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Amen. I said just this morning that we are looking at a nation that is full to the brim with religion, but completely absent and empty of true Holy Ghost power, of true God, of true faith. We are empty. We are dead. We are full of dry men's bones in terms of the things of God. Oh, we've got more religion and bigger church buildings and bigger gatherings than we've ever had, but we are dry as dead man's bones on the inside spiritually, friend. And you say, why do you say that, brother? I say that because of all the fear that has gripped the hearts of man. Amen. As God's people, we may get concerned sometimes. We may even get fearful sometimes. But the psalmist said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Amen. If we just be honest, most people, whether they're a church person or not, they are so afraid of what's going on in our society today because they know deep in their heart of hearts, deep down the recesses of their soul, that if this thing was to kill them, if this thing was to take their life, they'd wind up in a devil's hell when it's all said and done. They have no assurance. They have no peace. Sure, they go along like everything's okay whenever times are good, but you let something like this hit our nation and people get so gripped with fear, suddenly their church membership doesn't mean anything. Suddenly their spot on the deacon board doesn't mean anything. Suddenly their spot in the church choir doesn't mean anything. Or the fact that they teach a Sunday school class doesn't mean anything. Suddenly none of that means anything. All those works, all that stuff doesn't mean anything. They realize that they are empty in their soul and they're gripped with fear because they know in their heart that if they die, if they catch this virus and it kills them, they will die lost without God. They have no peace, and so they are filled with fear. But saved people don't fear that way. We know that at the end of the day, no matter what happens, God is in control. And even if I die, I'm going to a better place. Amen. I mean, sure, we're concerned and sure we try to be wise and we don't live recklessly. We want to have wisdom and do God's will and not tempt God. But at the end of the day, we know that God is in control of this thing. And if it's my time to go, there's nothing in the world going to stop it. Praise God. Hey, if God wants me to die, I'm going to die. Amen. There's nothing going to stop that. Amen. And it might be the virus, it might be a truck, it might be a heart attack, it might be anything or everything, but the fact is the Lord is in control. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but that relieves my fears every time I get to thinking about all that's going on. And by the way, if you watch enough news and you spend enough time online, you'll get a little fearful because it's being pumped up and it's being, it's everywhere you look. Everybody's scared to death. They're talking about how bad things are. And in your flesh, if you're not careful, you take enough of that stuff in, you'll start getting a little fearful too. But what time I am afraid, I trust in Thee. I told a preacher the other day, what I have to do sometimes is lift up that shield of faith and just keep on pressing on. Amen. There's two parts of the armor that takes a conscious effort to use. It takes a conscious effort to swing a sword and takes a conscious effort to raise a shield. Amen. And that shield is a shield of faith. And sometimes we just have to make a conscious effort to decide to make up our mind that I'm going to trust the Lord come hell or high water. I am going to walk by faith. Amen. And it relieves our fears. Amen. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Amen. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen. Hey, His amazing grace will relieve your fears. Praise God. In a world full of fear, folks are afraid to live. Folks are afraid to die. Folks are afraid of riches, and folks are afraid of poverty. Folks are afraid of youth. Folks are afraid of old age. Everybody's scared of something. Everybody's got something they're scared of. Everybody's got something they're gripped with fear. Nowadays, it seems like it's the economy, and it's this virus, and it's this, that, or the other. But there's always something that this world is gripped in fear over. There's always something people are stirred up with fear over. And in this world full of fear, the grace of God relieves our fear. Amen. We have got something that this world does not have. And you know what it is? It is the grace of God. It's amazing grace. Amen. The grace of God relieves our fear. Since God is love, the more of Him we have, the less fear we possess. The more of God in your life you have, the less fear you'll have in your life. I believe it was Stonewall Jackson that talked about being in God's will. In dealing with the sovereignty of God in his life. And how it's his religion, how his Christianity, how this Bible teaches him that he is as safe in battle as he is at home in his safe bed, his warm bed. Because God's grace relieves our fears. See, the natural man would say, boy, you're a lot less safe in battle than you are in bed. But the person that believes and understands the grace of God working in their life knows that the grace, it takes the same amount of grace to get us through the night of sleep as it does to get us through a battle. It takes the same amount of grace. There is so minute amounts of things that have to go wrong in our body to take our life. I mean, it is so small. It is so small the amount of things that have to go wrong in the human body to snuff the life out of the human. It takes just as much grace to get you through the night of sleep as it would be through a battle, I believe. It's His grace that teaches us that. 1 John 4:18, He said, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect deals with maturity. So I believe this. I believe all the folks that claim to be saved, that are gripped with fear and living their lives in fear, and they're, you know, and they can't get over that. Either one of two things are true. Either they're lost, they're not saved. Or their love has not been made perfect yet. They've not matured in their love for God. One or the other is true. He said, fear, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you are full of fear, there's something wrong with your love. You don't have enough of the Lord. So it relieves our fears. Thank God for amazing grace. It relieves our fears. But then also, it reassures through danger. Yeah. Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 says, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You realize that the Lord has literally dispatched angels, messengers to protect you and me, and to not allow anything into our life that God does not seem deemed necessary, or God does not allow into our lives. He has literally done. That is what your Bible says. Amen. And in times of danger, in times of turmoil, His amazing grace is still at work doing exactly what He wants it to do. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Amen. It's God's amazing grace that does all of that. It's a dangerous world we're living in. Amen. From without, there's storms, there's floods, there's earthquakes. I saw an article just last week, something like over 500 earthquakes they've counted out in Utah area. They had that big, like 5.7 earthquake several weeks ago. Since then, there's been like 700 recorded earthquakes in Utah since then, buddy. Don't tell me God ain't trying to wake somebody up. Amen. Don't tell me we're not getting close to the end of times. Earthquakes in divine, in diverse places and pestilences and all these things. Don't tell me the Lord ain't coming. Amen. Hey, this is a dangerous world from floods and earthquakes and thefts and murders and all these things that are going on. It is a dangerous world, is it not? Hey, just riding up and down the highway is a dangerous thing. I believe driving cars is one of the most dangerous things we do. And we do it every day and don't think anything about it. It is a dangerous world, and our lives could be ended in a moment. In but a second, our lives could be over. And that's the dangers from without. But what about the dangers from within? Within, there's trials, there's hurts, there's loneliness and misunderstandings and the battles that we all face from within spiritually. It is a dangerous world. It is a difficult world to make it through, but God's grace is sufficient for those who trust in Him. His amazing grace gets us another mile down the road, gets us on down the road, moving on for Him. Amen. I tell you, friends and loved ones, those around you may forsake you. Some of folks who at one time was maybe your greatest fan and your greatest supporter may turn their back and may forsake you, but Jesus never fails. Amen. And in our darkest alley, in our lowest valley, God will be with us. And Jesus walks with us. And Jesus never fails. Amen. I think about that song they sing, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail because Jesus never fails. Amen, amen. He has never failed me, not one time. He didn't fail me back then. He's not failed me today. I believe He's not going to fail me on down the road. Amen. I believe I'll just keep going the old time way. I believe I'll just keep walking this old road I've been walking for over a decade now, praise God, because He's not failed me once. He'll never fail me. Amen. He never fails. Psalm chapter 91. The last three verses of that psalm say this. It says, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. That lets me know that if I turn my heart unto him and if I seek after him, if I set my affections on him, he will honor me and he will protect me and he'll bless me. Amen. Hey, if I will love him like we should, amen, he'll be with us all the way. By the way, sometimes I haven't loved him like I should. He'd still be with me all the way. Amen. That's His grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. So His amazing grace. It redeems from sin. It relieves our fears. It reassures through danger. And then it rewards eternally. It rewards eternally. Amen. Boy, you think about all that this world is trying to gain and how that's not relieved any of their fears. You know, really, America's been the richest nation in the history of the world. I mean, let's just be honest about it. We're the richest nation. The middle class, even the lower middle class in this country lives better than most kings have lived down through the years, down through time. I'm talking about the luxuries that we have, all that we have available to us, all that God's given, how the ease of our life and the blessings of our life. We are living better than kings have lived. I'm talking about even what America would consider the poor people are living better than most kings have lived. Amen? And you look at all that man has set his affections upon here in our country and even in the world, all the gods and all the idols. And how none of those things, though they've maybe been obtained, maybe people have obtained the wealth that they always wanted, obtained the things they always wanted, obtained the life that they always wanted. But if it's not God, then it's not redeemed them from their sin. It's not relieved their fears in these days. It's not reassuring them through the danger. Matter of fact, a man may have spent his life building up his wealth, and at any day, you could wake up in the morning, it's all gone. I mean, this stimulus, they've put out 2.2 trillion. That's the biggest stimulus package ever in the history of the world. $2.2 trillion. They did that back. They tried to stimulate the economy back in 2008 and bailed out all the banks and all these corporations. That stimulus was huge then. But it was $152 billion. This one here, $2.2 trillion. And that doesn't even include the $1.5 trillion they dumped into the market several weeks before that. Where did that money come from? I'll tell you where it's coming from. They're printing it. They're just printing it out of nowhere. They're just printing it. Hey, this thing can't last forever, buddy. Folks not working and nothing's being produced, but money's just being printed and being produced. Hey, hyperinflation is going to happen at some point if this keeps going. And you can wake up tomorrow morning and everything you and I have worked for all our lives could be gone. The dollar has zero value and you're losing this value, just total collapse, and it's all gone. And somebody may have worked their whole life to get what they've got, get all the riches, and overnight it could be gone, friend, especially in days like today. It makes me realize why the Bible calls it uncertain riches. Amen. And I tell you, man has put his faith in so many things. Riches and all these things that man has put their faith in, and overnight it can be gone. It's not reassuring them in times of danger. It's not salving their souls. It's not getting them out of their sins. Hey, they're in fear for everything that they could possibly lose. Amen. But you and me, we've got rewards eternally. Amen. You know what's giving us those rewards eternally? The grace of God. Amen. If you say by the grace of God, you've not put your faith in uncertain riches. You've not put your faith in things that are temporal. You've got your faith in things that are eternal. Amen. And that grace, that faith will reward you and me eternally. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13 says, "Wherefore gird up your loins, gird up the loins of your mind." He says, "Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, he's not saying hope to the end for the grace like just hope it happens. Like just hope that it does. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that grace that'll be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when He comes back, when He's revealed. Hey, whenever He comes, He's saying that is your hope. That is my hope. The hope that we have is in the grace of Jesus, that He's coming, and that whenever He comes, He's going to reward us eternally because of His grace. What amazing grace. I got news. This world, this earth is not going to last forever. It is not going to last forever. That's why He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Amen. He said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal." Hey, it's pretty good to get 100% of return back on your investment. Ain't that pretty good? The only place you can get that is the investments you make in the depository in heaven. Amen. And that's what we ought to be doing, laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, knowing that what's down here is temporal, but what's up there is eternal. Amen. When we stand before God, the only thing that's going to matter then is what we did for Him here. Amen. But that grace rewards us eternally. Praise God. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Earth's treasures are temporal. They rust, they wear out, they decay. But God's grace, His amazing grace, stands forever. It's good to live by, and it's good to die by. Amen. I got news for you, friend. If you're saved by the grace of God, I don't care what's going on down here. Our eternal home is being prepared, and it's just over the next hill. It's just over the next horizon. We're in the last push through. We ought to lean in a little bit more, lean in a little bit harder, push a little bit harder, go a little farther, because right over the next horizon, we're going to be home, friend. We're almost there. We'll get to reap all the eternal benefits. John chapter 14. I want you to turn over there. I want to read these verses. I want you to read them and see them with your own God-given eyeballs. John chapter 14. Now you know what they say. As soon as you get there, you'll know what verses they are. But I want you to look at them. I want you to read them. These are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in John chapter 14, verse number 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." By the way, that's just as valid of a verse in 2020 as it was 2,000 years ago. Just as valid now. And Brother Ernest just said it because it's alive. Amen. It's alive. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I tell you, the eternal benefits, the eternal rewards of God's amazing grace are coming soon.
Amen.
Amen. He's there now. He's preparing that place. And I believe this. I believe He's sitting on the edge of His seat, ready to come back and get us. He wants to get us. Brother Ernest has said it. He wants to get us. I believe He wants to come back and get us worse than we want Him to come back. He is dying to come back and get us. He's waiting on the Father to give Him the word to come back and get us. Amen. Whenever He comes, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by His grace, if you put your faith and your trust in Him, you're going to reap eternal rewards. As a matter of fact, if you've put your faith and your trust in Him, repented of your sins and turned your life to Christ, repented and turned from idols to serve the living God, if you've done that, you already reaping the eternal rewards. We're just as sure of heaven as if we're already there. Amen. We're anchored over there. Amen. Whenever you're anchored somewhere, you can't go back. We can only move forward. We're getting closer. Amen. So I say this, in days like these, we have His amazing grace. We have His amazing grace. And so what does that mean? It means in days like these, we need to reach for His grace. We need to reach for His grace. We need to rest in His grace. And in days like these, we need to rely on His grace. Somebody said, "Well," and I've had people all over, even just this morning, messaging me and texting me, "What are y'all going to do? What are y'all going to do about church?" Well, I mean, we're just going to have church this morning, but you know, we'll just see what we need to do moving forward, you know. But you know what everybody's concerned about? Everybody's concerned about the precedent that all this is setting. That they can just come in and shut down a church. And people think, well, maybe this president won't do it, but what about the president after him? Maybe the president after him will actually shut down churches just because they don't want churches. They don't want religion in America anymore. And that precedent has been set, by the way. That precedent has been set. They've seen that they can just come in and say don't have church anymore and they won't have church anymore. They've seen they can do that. And so that's what everybody's concerned about. And I think about that too, but folks say, what are you going to do then? Well, we're going to rely on His amazing grace.
Amen.
There may come a day where we have to take a stand. There may come a day where we have to say, well, I don't care what the government's saying. We're going to do what's right. We're going to serve the Lord. That day may come, and it may come sooner than we think. But you know what's going to happen that day? His grace will be sufficient. His grace, that amazing grace, will be just as sufficient then as it is right now and as it always has been, friend. We'll just rely on His amazing grace. If you got fear in your heart, concern in your heart, reach for His grace. Lean on His grace. Remember God's amazing grace. Let's pray. Lord, I come before Your throne of grace, and I want to thank You for helping us with the Word this morning. Thank You, Lord, for letting us be here. And Lord, I thank You for Your amazing grace that's always been available to us and has worked in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for that grace that has redeemed us from our sin. Lord, whenever we called unto You, when we realized we were lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners, Lord, and we called on You to save us and put our faith in the finished work of Christ, Lord, that Your grace was sufficient to save us. Lord, I thank You that it's been sufficient, Lord, to keep us from danger. It's been sufficient, Lord, to calm our fears. And Lord, it's sufficient, Lord, to get us on home to reap our eternal rewards. Lord, I thank You for Your grace. There's not a person sitting here this morning that deserves to be here. There's not a person that's saved by the grace of God that deserves to be saved. Lord, it's just been Your grace. It's all because of Jesus and His grace. And I thank You so much for it. I pray You'd help us, Lord, as we get closer to Your return, Lord, as things get worse, and Lord, as all this is going on in our country and our society, Lord, I pray that You would help us to reach for and rely on Your grace. Lord, knowing that You are ever present, You are working in our lives. I pray, oh God, that Your will would be done and accomplished in our church, in our society, Lord, in our community around us. Lord, I pray that You would use these days, Lord, to wake people and shake people spiritually, Lord, to cause them to wake out of their spiritual sleep, Lord, cause them to think about spiritual things and cause them to consider death and eternity, to cause them to consider, Lord, what is to come after, and Lord, to consider the things of God. Lord, I pray that You would do a great and mighty work and that You would help us, Lord, to be what You want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be ever about Your business, preaching the gospel in these days and witnessing and doing what we can to accomplish Your work, Lord, knowing that's why You've left us here. Lord, I pray that You'd bring about days of great revival in our nation, Lord, through all that's going on. I know that You can. I know that You will. Lord, may we see souls saved by Your grace and for Your glory. Bless us now, in Christ's name. Amen.